I want to invite you to open your Bibles up to the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to look at 10 descriptions of false prophets that the Apostle Peter gives. I want to really, my heart's desire is just to inject a dose of awareness of the gravity of false teaching. We see it all throughout the scriptures, in the New Testament in particular, the seriousness that our Lord placed upon guarding against the wolves and false teaching, and the apostles do the very same thing. So my heart's desire in this series is to really increase, have a sensitivity and discernment as it relates to aberrant theology. I want us to be aware of the methods of Satan and what he does. His kingdom depends on deception and lies. It was Martin Lloyd-Jones who said that of all the chapters in the Bible, this must be the most terrible. He said, anyone who enjoys reading a chapter like this must surely be abnormal. Well, there is a sense in which this is a very difficult passage as we work through it and hear about all the destruction that can happen in the church, but it's necessary. And that's why Peter writes this letter. It's necessary that we understand what's at stake and what's happening. And elders need to know this and need to be prepared. I want to back up just a little bit and give this sort of a context. God, of course, has inspired his word, and his word is truth because he is truth. And there's hardly anything more offensive to God than a misrepresentation of his truth. Satan is a liar, and he's been a liar from the beginning. His full-time job is to distort the truth. And one of the methods that Satan uses for distorting the truth is raising up false prophets, raising up false teachers who contradict and distort the word of God. John chapter 8, verse 44 says, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that he disguises himself as an angel of light. And we see this happening in the churches, and that's what the Apostle Peter teaches on. So I want to look at 10 descriptions of these false prophets that Peter brings out. And the first one is this: false prophets come within the ranks of Christians. He says in verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 2, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you." So make no mistake about it. Peter is saying there will be false teaching and false teachers. It's a prophetic guarantee. It'll happen. We're told here that false teaching will be on the rise. It will increase, not decrease. It won't be diminished, but it will actually gain momentum. And false teaching will be part of the church. Now keep in mind, this is the very same thing that Jesus warned about. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 11, Jesus says, "And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray." He says it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Jesus, in fact, holds his most fiery statements for those who pervert the truth. He has no tolerance for false teachers. We see this also with the other apostles. The apostle John says in 2 John 2, he says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world." 1 Timothy 4, Paul says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons." 1 John 4, John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." Over and over and over in the New Testament, this drum is being beat. Galatians 1:9, Paul says, "As we've said before, so I now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." So this is serious business. And then, of course, the passage that every elder should know, Acts chapter 20, Paul says to the Ephesian elders, and we'll look at this more later in our series, he says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among the flock, come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. He says to the elders, therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. So the first thing we need to understand is that false prophets will arise, and they will even arise from within our own ranks. There's a story I heard years ago about Eli Cohen. It's a true message of true story of espionage. And Cohen grew up in Egypt as the child of Orthodox Jews. He was a very brilliant young man. He was fluent in many languages, possessed just an unbelievable memory. And the Israeli government recruited Cohen and sent him to Buenos Aires, Argentina, to establish his cover as a Syrian immigrant. So he was disguised as this extremely wealthy, nightlight, loving, huge, tipping political guru with the Syrian people in Argentina. Well, the government kept his bank account plump to keep his cover, and he was eventually invited to Damascus, Syria, and worked his way up the societal and political ranks to become really a trusted confidant to the political leaders of Syria, who were intent on destroying Israel. In fact, his closest friend ended up becoming the president of Syria. He was the only civilian who joined the tour of colonels and generals along the Israeli border. And Cohen was told by a minister of defense that the only way their military bases could be destroyed was by direct air attacks. Well, one memorable day, Cohen was overlooking the Golan Heights that borders Israel and suggested to the president that he plant groves of eucalyptus trees near all their military stations to disguise the secret activity that was going on. Well, Cohen was discovered not long after that. He was hanged on public television. But during the Six-Day War that followed shortly after, the Israeli Air Force had little problem knocking out all of Syria's military in the Golan Heights because they were all marked by eucalyptus trees. And the Golan Heights today are in the possession of Israel because of an imposter disguised as the real thing. He infiltrated the Syrian government from the inside out, and his approach looked like one of them and then lead them astray. The worst attacks, Peter is saying, come from within. The false teaching of Buddhism, of Islam, I don't think is nearly as disgusting as the false teaching that comes from within our own ranks as evangelical Christians. So that's the first thing. The second point that Peter draws out here is that false prophets secretly bring in destructive heresies. He says they will secretly bring in destructive heresies. They're undercover. They're secret. This means they will be inconspicuous. They won't all wear purple shirts that say, we're false teachers. When they give their testimony, they usually won't say, oh, and by the way, we don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. No, they're secret. They're undercover. The heresies that they bring in sound pleasant. Heresies aren't like vinegar, yuck. Oh, that's distasteful. They're not like that at all. They secretly creep in unnoticed. They're generally not repulsive. They almost always strike a chord with people. They almost always sound good and true. They almost always sound like biblical Christianity, but in fact, they're not. That's why people fall for it. It has the same lingo. It has the same feel. It sounds the same. It smells the same, but it's not the same. And they secretly bring in these destructive heresies. Jude 4 says, for certain people have crept in unnoticed. And that's how it works. Now, why would Peter say they're destructive heresies? He says this obviously because that's exactly what they are. They're destructive. To mess with the person of Jesus or to mess with the work of Jesus is destructive. It matters eternally. Matters what you believe. If a person is led to believe that the more sure word of the Bible isn't true, then they'll be destroyed, Peter says. And the tendency for some people might be to ignore or downplay false teaching and heresy, but Peter does the opposite. And so do the other apostles, and so does our Lord. They expose the false teachers. They expose the false teaching. So some application here for pastor elders is it's not wrong to call destructive heresy what it is. Destructive heresy. It isn't wrong to call false teaching false teaching. It isn't wrong to point out false gospels, false teaching, and false teachers. Now, the third point I want to look at is that Peter says false prophets deny the master who bought them. Even denying the master who bought them. What Peter is saying here is that their lives reject the master that they profess to know. They're frauds, in other words. Their lives and their lifestyles are the proof of such a denial. They're not subpar Christians just on a journey. They aren't believers who've accepted Jesus as Savior, but just haven't got around to accepting him as Lord. No, Peter's saying their lifestyle is an indication that they're false. There's a denial of the lordship of Jesus in their lives. That's what Peter's saying. There's a lip service to the doctrine. There's a lip service to the faith, but there's no substantial obedience. And most likely what will happen is a false teacher will outwardly speak in glowing terms of the gospel, the inerrancy of Scripture, the substitutionary atonement of Christ. They'll talk of sanctification and the physical return of Christ. They'll give their pledge of allegiance to all these doctrines, but here's the telltale sign of an imposter, according to Peter. His or her life doesn't match. They speak of Jesus as Lord, but they live as though they're the Lord. Their lives reveal the fact that they're unsaved, unregenerate. There's no real interest in submitting to Jesus as Lord.